few things to do this week. These are the announcements. Every Sunday at 9 a.m., we have Bible study in Mickey's room. Wednesday night, we have prayer at 6:30.
Yeah.
And you can't hear me? Okay.
We shall overcome.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday afternoon at 6:30 we have prayer, and 7 to 8 we have Bible study, and everyone is welcome. Thursday night we have choir practice from 6:30 to 8. Again, all are welcome. We also need folks to lead hymns during the Christian music sing on January 31st. And on that day, we will have a 10 a.m. service. 11:30, we're going to have a Christian music hymn sing. And at 12:30, we're going to have a luncheon. So it'll be a pot blessings luncheon. Please bring your best dish for your best friends. Okay. Deaf Turka will also be taking pictures on that day for anyone who wishing to have their pictures in the church directory. On the 24th of March, Monday Thursday service, so Easter is very early this year. And on the 25th of March, Good Friday service, that will be in Brimfield at the Congregational Church. And on the 27th of March, so we're thinking ahead after February, then March, we'll have sunrise service as well as Easter service here at 10 o'clock. Are there any other announcements?
So we have a Monday Thursday service here. I don't know if you
Yes, I did mention Monday Thursday, but not where it
was. That's joined with the congregation.
Right.
Well, which is it, Monday or Thursday?
Monday Thursday. I don't know what that word means.
It means moon day.
Moon
day. The day of the moon.
Okay.
For the moon worshippers.
Oh, great. Okay, so we should get rid of that name. Because we don't worship the moon, right?
That's right.
But Lisa.
Keller is telling me, raise your hand. Because his birthday is coming up this week. He wants everybody to know it's his birthday.
Keller's 21st.
Oh. Keller's birthday?
Keller's birthday.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. As they are traveling. Prayers for Bob and Judy, Alma and Charlie, and all who battle Parkinson's disease. Continued prayers for baby Luke and all our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that need healing, and the doctors and nurses that treat them. Prayers for Barbara's friend, Mandy Hudson, who is battling ALS. Continued prayers for Roger Kervoy, Reverend Bob Wellner, and for Priscilla Barney, who is Alma's sister. Mm-hmm. Do we have any other prayer requests? Yes, Donna?
For Paul, who is in rehab after surgery.
Okay, for Paul. That's your son?
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely pray for Paul. How long do they expect for him to be in rehab, Donna?
Yes.
How long do you expect him to be in rehab?
About 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we'll keep Paul in prayer. Also, my father, Joe Belaski, he's supposed to have surgery on the 2nd of February, which is his birthday. So, very important, first of two surgeries. Yes.
And a special prayer for the family, all the families, but specifically Corporal Chris Orlando, who's only 22 years of age. He's from Hingham. He was aboard the CH-53 Marine helicopters that collided at night off of Oahu, and they haven't found anybody yet, and chances are, I mean, God can work a miracle, but pray for that family. And they interviewed the father, and the father was a Marine and lost his best friend while he was in training in the Marine Corps. So it's devastating. And pray for the families, and pray for, these are all, quote, training exercises. There's so many military members that perish while training, it's unbelievable, and people don't really notice it because it's, quote, not in our combat.
Right.
But let's just lift up all the family servicemen all over the globe and just comfort them.
And that 22-year-old, his name was Chris?
It's Chris Orlando, Corporal Chris Orlando.
Okay, and his family from Hingham.
Yep.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other prayer requests? Okay, let's stand for the call to worship, please.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
It is a glorious day.
Amen.
It truly is a day that the Lord has made. It's interesting, you know, we continue to have a winter of peace. We had a little bit of snow yesterday. Came down while we were here taking down Christmas decorations and that type of thing, and then it all went away. All went away. Just a beautiful thing. This Sunday we come together, and it's Martin Luther King weekend, and they always introduce the Reverend Martin Luther King as Dr. King. His appropriate title would be the Reverend Dr.
Right.
Martin Luther King. He was a Baptist pastor. And folks today, I was interested, I was looking at the dates, and I always assume that folks know about the Kennedy assassination and the civil rights protest and Martin Luther King and this type of thing. But if you're not 60 or older, what you know is what your parents told you. Because you'd have been way too young to really have seen anything yourself. I found that astonishing when I sat there and I was looking at the dates and went through and said, huh, I think I was only like 12 or 13 years old when this started to occur. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for guys like me, and if Rich just came in, Rich is in the back, you know, you got guys that are would have been the same age group as me who were going to school, and things like the draft was still on, so you knew, you know, military service loomed in front of you. And then you watched a nation all of a sudden start to have protests and people being beaten and dogs being loosed and all types of things going on, and your black and white TV.
Without a remote.
Without a remote, yeah. I was the remote. I was the remote. But you know, when you think of Dr. King, most folks think of the speech where he delivered, I Have a Dream. And there's been few more memorable speeches than Dr. King's speech. And his words live on. But today we're going to talk about dreams. We're going to talk about the dreams you have, the dream God has for you, and what dreams are in general. Our call to worship is in your bulletin. You need to hang on to it because the benediction is in there too. So at the this is the beginning. This is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning. The end. It is.
The call and the close.
That's it. But as we come together today, be here, be present. Be a part of the service for the whole time. We got some new folks that are here too. Make sure you give them a hug before they leave. I welcome them, but make sure you give them a hug before they leave. Call of worship's on the inside. I'll do the part that says leader. Y'all do the part that says people. We're up your side. Hi there, how are you?
I got it now.
I'm here. All right. Just for this hour,
follow me.
Listen to my word.
Follow me.
Think about your life as my disciple.
Follow me.
Every day, follow me.
Every day, follow me. Pray.
Follow me.
Sing.
Follow me.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Amen.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we come together today. We come together blessed to be in this community, blessed to be in a nation that allows us to assemble openly and freely. We come together and we join in fellowship here with like-minded Christians around the world. who come together on this glorious day to share in the fellowship, share in the healing, share in the opportunity to fellowship with a God that walks with us daily, a God that knows us by our first name, a God who lifts us up when we're tired, carries us when we're too tired to walk, provides healing, provides opportunity. And Father, as we come together today, we know that you have a plan for good and not for evil, that you've given us a field full of opportunities, the opportunity to move forward and do your work. So Father, as we lock into our pews, as we become recharged, we begin this service with the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
One day. We'll do first and last verses. 196, one day. Article and reading through some of the things that he was talking about, and he encouraged his priests and his deacons and the folks that work in the church to go out and spend time with the sheep. He said, what you got to do is go out so that you get a little sheep smell on you. And for folks like me that are old, that like westerns, in the westerns, anytime the sheep came to cattle country, the sheep herders always got the worst of it, because the cattlemen in the westerns would say, oh, something smells bad in here. It's the smell of sheep. But just like the Western and just like the Pope. Management in America figured out a long time ago the way to figure out what's wrong with an industry is to go down and ask the workers. What the Pope said is go out with the sheep and figure out what they've got going on so you know how to help them. You got to be in the trenches and do the work and do the work with the folks where they are. So as you share from your abundance, realize that the real offering that you would give occurs in the trenches. It might be in the trenches of the offices where you work. It might be in the trenches of the coffee shop. It might be in the trenches of the grocery store. It might be in the trenches of the telephone. Keith gets to be in those trenches all the time. Keith works in human resources. He gets to work with people. That's what he gets paid the big money for. He's in the trenches with folks that have issues every day of the week. But if you're not there, you can't affect change. You can't make a change. You can read all the books. You can look at all the papers. You can have all the philosophical conversations that you want to do. But till you jump in the trench and get dirty, nothing happens. This last week, Jack stopped to see me. I'm sure that he was thrilled after he stopped. We were working on a pipe, and Jack came to get a key from me. And when he showed up, the pipe had broken, and there was no shutoff on the pipe. Jack could have taken the key and ran away and fleed, but no, he decided to come in the trenches with myself and the other guy and work. But we solved the problem. And now we all have a new ministry to talk about with somebody else that has a broken pipe, because you can't relay or equate that experience till you've been there. Until you've been there. So as the ushers come forward, share from your abundance, but know that your ministry is in the trenches every day.
Thank you.
and share from our abundance. You've blessed us with so many things. We thank you, Father, for each day, for the sunshine, for the clear sky, for the opportunity to come here, Lord, and worship freely and openly. We thank you, Father, for the gifts of health, for the gifts of friendship, for the gifts of fellowship, for the gifts of love. And now, Father, we return this small portion to you to be utilized in your service. We ask, Father, that it would expand our boundaries, that we'd be able to not just cover our bills, but reach out, Father, and expand our boundaries to touch those who have not heard your voice, who have not seen your love, who have not heard the opportunity to come forward and be saved, saved for eternity. We ask all these things, Father, and lift these gifts up to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all can be seated. You guys stay up front. I got invited to go to the Cub Scout troop and hang out with Lisa and Keller and all the folks there. And it kind of ties in nicely with Martin Luther King Day and dreams and the opportunity that folks have and taking advantage of the opportunity. I told Lisa this morning, I said, there was no shortage of enthusiasm. The kids all liked to talk, but I didn't know it was going to be your birthday this week. So it's just going to be your birthday. You're going to be how old?
10.
You're going to be 10. Keller, what would you like to be when you grow up? You got any idea?
Guitar player.
You going to go to college? Yep. Very good. Mommy, what would you think about Keller as he grows up?
Keller really shows an interest in how things work in mm-hmm. engineering, in a sense. Yep. But he's really lately been interested in history, mm-hmm. and he loves basketball. Mm-hmm. And he really likes to share information. Mm-hmm. So I almost see him like in a professorial or a teaching position too. Well, he says he wants to be the owner of a car dealership.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
That kind of lines up with what you just said.
But when you talk about dreams, the difference between dreams and reality is having a plan. Mm-hmm. And then following that plan and establishing goals and benchmarks and things along the way. And part of that is tied in with your Christian faith. And Keller's got a good background. He and I have fished together. You know, he likes the competitive spirit of the fishing. He likes the catching part real well. I think he likes the eating part real well, too. But while they were here, happy birthday.
Yeah.
And thank the rest of your folks and the troop for the opportunity to come down and visit. If you ever want to do a presentation for folks that you talk to and will talk back to you, that whole pack is like, can I talk? There was no, you didn't have to worry about using up your time. They had lots of things to talk about. But happy birthday. Thanks for saying.
All right.
All the children come down to Miss Karen.
So as you know, it's Martin Luther King Day. I decided to do a little bit of research on Martin Luther King. I found a site that had 10 little-known facts about him. Some of them really didn't matter all that much. But did you know, when he was 12 years old, his grandmother died, and he became so depressed he wanted to kill himself? I didn't know that. But his faith got him through that. He was very smart in school. He managed to skip 2 grades out of high school to go right into college at 15. Did you know that? I don't know that either. However, he took a class on public speaking, and guess what he got for a grade?
A.
Yeah. A C.
Wow.
A C. But then he went on to win an award in Germany for public speaking for an album. Do you know what an album is?
I forget.
Could you describe an album? Yeah, and it looks like a gigantic blown-up CD. It's about this big. And he won an award because he spoke and recorded it on his big album so people could listen to it. And back then, that was a really great portable. So that was probably something he was excited about. He won the Nobel Peace Prize when he was 35. And I read an article years ago about Martin Luther King, the speech where he says, "I have a dream." God kind of showed him what was going to happen in the future. That his family was going to be able to be freer than they were when he was alive. And he knew that he was going to die. And he went out onto that balcony when he gave his last speech, and he told his family to stay inside. And they think now, after, you know, looking back at his writings and interviews that they had with him and interviewing the family, they think that he probably knew that he was going to die then. But that he had a vision, God had given him the vision of what was going to happen in the future. He just wasn't going to be able to experience it, but he knew his family would. Now, sometimes God's going to give you dreams and visions that you may not see the whole thing through. Maybe you're going to be a civil rights activist for another country. Maybe you're going to teach people things, teach kids things that maybe you're going to be able, as you get older, maybe religious freedoms will be more expensive. But maybe you'll be able to teach people about faith, about God, and it will be something that would be different than it is now. It's not exactly how it is now. It's not exactly how you might envision it now. Your future about being a car dealer or owning a car dealership may not be exactly what God has planned. You may see that. Maybe someday you're going to sell cars. Maybe not. But you have a dream, and like Pastor said, you have to have your goal. You have to be focused on what that is, but you also have to be focused on what God wants you to do. And it doesn't matter what grades. No. It matters what grades you get, but it doesn't matter if your teachers say you're never going to be able to do, you're never going to be a good public speaker. In all the class, you know what I used to get? C's. And I got C's and D's in sewing. And when my kids were younger, I made their clothes. I made my clothes. I could do arts and crafts stuff. I didn't believe what they said because I knew that God had put something in me that was more than what they were seeing. God has something in you that is more than probably what anybody else is seeing, even more than what your mom and dad are seeing. God has something in you, and you need to hold on to it and not get so discouraged. If other people say you're never going to be able to do that, you hold on to it, right? And you never let go. You keep in the Word. Keep reading God's Word. He's going to show you more and more and more of all He's got for you, whether it's a car dealership or a teacher or a missionary. All right. Jesus, I thank you that you give each of us dreams. Lord, I thank you that you give us the path to go on. Help us, Lord, to each see that path, and especially these children, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone that's trying to discourage the gift that you've given to them, Lord, that you would just close their mouths right now. Father, I pray that you would just keep them strong in you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Continue service with hymn number 199. Tell me the story of Jesus. 199. We'll do first and last verses.
Jesus, ever grows.
Opportunity to come together and talk to God, opportunity to listen. Might be the only time this week that you've had a quiet time where you can hear God's voice. We have a lot of folks that we pray for. Folks like my granddaughter Riley, who was sick. She's recovering now. She was nice enough to share with her sister, who also had the bug and is recovering now. There's enough of that going on. The whole school system closed this past week, so there's all that going on. If you didn't see my email, baby Luke's test came back clear. Blood test came back clear. They're hoping for another transplant here in a few weeks where they can continue to work with him. Need to keep Paul in prayer. Paul's, he's in rehab where?
Evergreen. Stafford.
Yeah, he's down at Evergreen in Stafford, Karen and Tom and her folks get down there and sing. Stafford's not that far away. You can stop in and see him. He's doing well. Joe Belaski's going for surgery. And Chris Orlando, the military person that was killed or is missing in the crash. There's always more than enough things to pray for. There's always enough things to not only pray for, but to be joyful about. We have a lot of folks that are traveling. I visit with George and Terry on a pretty regular basis. They're doing well, and they're looking to buy some property while they're down there so that they can have a permanent place to go during the winter so that we can have a permanent place to go visit. It's a beautiful thing. So join with me as we gather together in prayer. Prayer will start with me. It'll go through the pews. Prayer comes to you. If you don't have anything specific to pray about, say amen or thank you, Lord. It'll move to the next person. Father, we thank you and praise you for allowing us to come here together today. We pray for all the folks on our prayer list. We lift them all up to you, and we're thankful and joyful about baby Luke. We're thankful and joyful for all the folks that had the bug this past week and that have recovered or are in the process of recovery. We're thankful for our folks that travel, that are safe, that have gotten to their destination. We've got folks that are traveling on vacation, and we pray, Father, for all those folks, that you hold them in the palm of your hand, that you keep them safe. We pray for our military members and first responders and firefighters and police that spread around the globe, Lord, that they go out of each day, they go out of their comfort zone and go into harm's way to protect us. We ask, Father, that you hold them safe in the palm of your hand, that you be with their families and keep them focused and secure and return those folks back home as soon as possible. We pray for our leaders, local and national, that you would give them wisdom and insight, that you open their hearts and minds to your voice so that they would make wise decisions, Lord. And now, Father, we add our own individual prayers.
Father in heaven, thank you for this church. Thank you for the people in it, Lord. My church family, thank you for the doors that you opened for me this week and the seemingly impossible became possible through your grace and your kindness to me, Lord. Please be with those who are in financial need, who are in medical need, those who are discouraged, those who have problems, Lord. Let them see that everything fades away. All problems fade away in your light and you follow me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for so traveling with us, Lord, for coming to us all. I pray you continue to bless us here at this church in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, dear God, for my son, Keller. And thank you for calm and quiet. Thank you for balance, and thank you for challenges that prove to us that you love us, that you can go forward.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, dear Lord, for this church and this community. Dear Lord, I pray for those that are ill. I pray for those that are traveling. Hear the children. You know all our needs. Mm-hmm. Thank you for my husband, my family. Thank you for my family.
my church family that prays for all of you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I praise you for bringing Emma and Katie and Brianna to us today. Enjoy visiting with them and when they find what they're looking for. I pray for my sister Faith, who would take away her physical pain. And I praise you so much for the healing that you caused in Faith in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. We do lift up baby Luke to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that miracle, that gift. I pray, Lord, that that young child stays strong. The family is incredibly strong, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that he stays cancer-free, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this church and this family. Pastor Gary, for leading this church. And I'm thankful for my family. I look forward to this afternoon, spending time with my folks and my children, Lord, and then lunch. And I'm just very blessed, and I thank you, Lord, for all that.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful church, Lord, for this good winter we're having, Lord, and not having the snowbanks, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for those five men that got released from that Iranian prison, Lord, especially that young pastor, Lord. Let them all get their lives back together, Lord. Thank you for the military men and women, Lord, around the world, Lord, our firefighters and policemen and EMTs, Lord. Watch over and take care of us, Lord, so we can meet in this wonderful little church and not have to worry, Lord. May you bless Pastor Gary with a mighty message. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, dear Lord, for this new day and this new year. And may the days and years ahead be healthy and happy for everyone. We do pray for Pastor Gary and Elaine and wish them all the happiness in the world. We thank you, God, for the grandchildren, and pray that they get well and keep well. We pray for them and love them, everyone. Thank you, dear God, for the love you give us and help us, for everyone that helps us in this church. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we come together in the quiet. We see your love in the sunshine. We feel your touch in the breeze. We see your enthusiasm in the children that come, filled with opportunity, filled with dreams. We pray, Father, that you touch us, that you renew our enthusiasm, that you renew our excitement. And now, Father, we lift up all our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus. We ask all these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Scripture is Jonah chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. In the next reading, Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 20. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. He had another dream, and he told it to his brothers, saying, "Look, I had another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What kind of dream is this that you have had? Shall we indeed come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow down to the ground before you?" So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now and see if it will be well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So we sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I've heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jack.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we come together. We ask that this time would be your time, that you would come and put your hands on our shoulders, that you'd surround us with angels, that you'd lift us up and help take our mind off the afternoon, take away the thoughts of a long drive to Vermont, the playoff games, anything else that would distract us. Help us not to be distracted. Help us to be here in the moment. Help us to be able to hear your voice. Help us to not be like Jonah and run away. Help us to see the dream, to hear your voice, and then be the warrior that goes forward and does your will. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Reverend Martin Luther King, a man who preached the message, I have a dream. A man who had a dream. Man who had a dream, a man that God spoke to. When you read King's autobiographies, you read a story about a young Baptist pastor
with a wife
who comes into a time and a time where America was turbulent, where there were things that you never thought you'd see on TV. There was activity going on that a young guy like me from the mountains on a black and white TV didn't think that you would ever see on television. And this young pastor had just finished his school, and he's a young Baptist pastor with a wife and kids, comes into a community and feels stirred. And he goes and he participates in a sit-in. That was the Reverend King's first go-around with being an activist, standing up for what he thought was wrong. And he goes to the sit-in and he gets locked up. First time he'd ever been in jail. He comes back home and he sits down and he thinks. And I know you folks pretty well, so I know a lot of you have had things in your lives where the battle started and you wanted to come back home and think about the whole thing. Where you wanted to know whether I'm going to go forward with this, whether I'm going to quit, whether I'm going to be a participator or I'm going to be a spectator. I'm not too sure what to do. But while I was at home, he got a phone call. And it was a phone call that wasn't a polite phone call. It basically said, you keep this up, we're going to kill you. Your family's not going to have a good time. You say to yourself, huh, do those things happen? Do those things happen? Ed's a selectman, Rich has been a selectman. Do those things happen? Yeah. Yeah. People aren't always kind and gentle, even when you're trying to do the things that that are right. So after the phone call, the young pastor dropped to his knees and prayed. And as he prayed, he heard this voice that said, I will be with you always.
Amen.
I will be with you always. So he decided to move forward and turned into the Baptist pastor that was the leader that led the folks and led on his principle, led on a principle of nonviolence, led on a principle where they use no weapons but their bodies, where they put their bodies in harm's way. That's interesting, you know, we talk about dreams, and God has dreams. God puts dreams into people's hearts and minds, and people rise up and become more than they ever thought they could be. They rise up and do things that put themselves in harm's way, that inconvenience their families, that take them out of a comfortable lifestyle and put them into an uncomfortable lifestyle because it's the right thing to do. I'm convinced that God gives you a dream that it's not just for your benefit, but could be for benefits of others. God gives you dreams so that you can put them into action, so that you can move forward and do something with them. It's just not a someday plan, it's a right now plan. I think that God dreamed that people needed to read his word. So he took a young man named Gutenberg and helped him invent a printing press, so that not just the selected few would have the word, but all could have the word. I think that God thought maybe that people should have light so they could read the word easier. And he gave a young man named Thomas Edison the skill sets to move forward and develop things like light bulbs. God had a dream that humans needed better transportation and better ways to get around. And so he gave the dream of the automobile and the equipment that they operate. God gave Joseph a dream of serving his people, of saving his people. Joseph's problem was he was just a young guy. He was filled with enthusiasm. He wanted to tell everybody. He didn't realize he was going to make everybody unhappy. Didn't realize they were going to take him and think about killing him and throwing him in a pit. Didn't realize he was going to wind up sold in slavery and off in another country. But just like Keller, when Keller was up front and he said he thinks he'd like to own a car dealership, God has you do a lot of different things along the way so that you have tool sets developed for your use in the future. God takes the stuff that you've learned along the way. I went to school to please my father. I wanted to drive big trucks and operate equipment. My dad, being a good dad, wanted a better way of life for me. He wanted me to go to college. I did not want to go. Worked out kind of funny that way. So we compromised on a folk school. And I didn't know what I wanted to be, but my older brother, Roy, was making some decent money working inside as a designer for GE. And I had taken drafting classes. So I said, okay, I can do that. And I went and took the classes and did a couple of years. And I hated that work. I really did. But the skill sets became invaluable with the detail that was involved with them later down the road. A lot of things that I've done in life were things that didn't kill me, but I didn't want to do them on a regular basis. But they were all things that God put in that order so that I would be a better practitioner for God. Because God doesn't give you any time that you're wasting. God gives you things to do along the way so that you can build those skill sets to better serve him. And I don't care whether you're Deb and have had a photography business where you've taken pictures of everything from animals that are dressed up in little outfits or folks on motorcycles going a zillion miles an hour. But now those skill sets are for, and Deb's here, so if you're one of those folks that aren't in a witness protection program and you want your picture taken after church to go in the directories, she'll take your picture. And folks can not only see your name and address, but they can see how good looking you are. But all those things that you do add to skill sets that work for God. You know, and a lot of times God gives you a dream and you're like Jonah. God said to Jonah, go on over there and preach. And Jonah said, I don't even like them folks. I don't want to go there. I don't like them. I didn't like their fathers. I don't like their kids. I don't like their politics. I'm not going. I'm not going to go, and I'm not going to do it. And what happens is, God's a funny guy. God's a funny guy. Jonah went away, jumped on a boat, went out to sea. God made a storm. They threw him overboard. Jonah got sucked up by a whale. Now, Joel and I didn't get sucked up by a whale. But Joel and I have hung out together long enough to know that God's a funny guy. Because Joel and I went different ways on different paths. Because God would say, go here. And we'd say, no. I don't want to go there. I'd rather go, in my case, I wanted to go to Berkshire's. I think Joel went to California. I'm not sure. Joel took off and went to California. You know, we all hide in different spots along the way when God calls us. Or we make up an excuse. I'm too busy. There's too much stuff. I can't figure out my schedule. My kids called. My neighbor called. I don't feel quite, maybe next week. I don't know. But God will come and God knocks. If you don't answer, then God gets a bigger hammer. And if you still don't answer, God knocks the door right down. You're going to go. It's just a matter of when you're going to go. And God has a promise. But what's sad to me is folks sometimes give up their dreams. They say, I've done all I can do now. I'm too old, too slow. I can't learn. I cannot operate these new gadgets. I can't play with these things, so I can't be of value along the way. God uses every skill set. God uses you whether you're 10 years old and just celebrating double digits, or you're 110 years old. God has a job for you to do. And when you come together and you do the work, other people are drawn to do the work together. There's not a, you know, yesterday we, Elaine developed a new word. What was your word for taking down Christmas?
De-Christmasing.
De-Christmasing. That's what we did yesterday. We de-Christmased. We came in and took down all the decorations and went through it. And there's a lot of fellowship that goes on. Jack and I had a miracle yesterday. We had a miracle of, you know, Jesus took the fishes and divided them, and there was a whole bunch more fishes. We took the decorations down and had less buckets to fill up. I'm not sure what happened. They shrunk. It was a beautiful thing. Howard would be so proud that our inventory has been reduced without throwing anything away. But you come together, and while you're doing that stuff, you exchange ideas and you exchange fellowship. And when you leave, you're better than you were when you came in. We've got stuff going on that's coming up. We've got the gospel concert at the end of the month where hymn sing. We need you all to come. We need you to bring your friends and neighbors. We need you to come and bring your best dish. It's a potluck. We're going to invite the whole town. Y'all come, whatever you make that is your best dish, bring it and share it with everybody else. We're going to do the service. We take about a 30-minute break. We're going to sing for an hour. We're divided into different groups. We got all types of different people that are going to sing. If you come, you may get to hear the Joel Jetty, Art Kibbe, Howard White group leading the sing-along. It'll be a beautiful thing. I just can't tell who's going to be here leading the singing. So those are things that you need to put in your calendar. But your dreams, I don't know what your dreams are. I don't know what you dream, but don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your dreams. You want to read an interesting biography? Read about Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders was an old guy that had failed at a bunch of different things, and he didn't go into Kentucky Fried Chicken business till he was in his 70s. You know, it's one thing to have fought the battle and fought well and not achieved the goal, but to have been offered the opportunity to go after a dream and say no, to never take that opportunity and run that race, to go do the things that God has given you, it's just wasteful. You know, when you get to heaven, there's the story about the folks with talents, and that one guy takes his talent and goes and buries it in the dirt. Reread that, because he gets the worst end of the stick. Mm-hmm. Worst end of the stick, the master beats him up and throws him outside. Said to you, hey, I gave you a talent, and you didn't use it. Use the gifts that God have for you. Be more than you ever thought you could be. In the bulletin, I gave you one of Reverend King's best-known visions. He says, I have a dream for my little children. Will one day live in a nation where they'll not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. We live in that nation right now. You live in a nation that affords you all types of opportunities, regardless of your age, regardless of your size, regardless of your background, and you serve a risen Savior who gives you all the tools that you need to do with. There's not a problem you can't solve. There's not a thing you cannot overcome, because you have the folks around you right now that have those skill sets. Because if they don't have the skill sets, they know somebody that does. That's the best gift that I have to offer, and it's a gift that I use with each one of you each day of the week when I have a problem, I don't reinvent the wheel. I go to you folks and say, if it's a medical problem, I'll generally call Lisa and say, hey, where do I go to help this? Well, whether it's an old person that needs help, if it's somebody that needs caring for, we've got enough folks that have done that. We need something built, you have legal problems, you're looking at a business or whatever you want to do, you've got the resources around you to go tackle that issue. You've got folks that are there as your prayer partners to pray with you, to walk with you, to lift you up when you're down, and to help solve any type of problem that's going on. So this week, be more than you ever thought you could be. Song we're going to close with, You Don't Need a Hymnal. I'm going to give you all the words right now. Everybody ready? It's amen and amen. And it goes, amen, amen. You can stand up now.
Amen. Amen.